F4.
Number 2B.
Now, you have been studying the 7 days of creation. There is a great literature, a big literature on the 7 days of creation. They are fundamental, and you have to know them, or else you have no solid ground on which to build the science of being. You know the numerals of infinity, the difference between the new days of creation and the numerals of infinity. There is a great amount of literature on this question. It is in my book on the seven synonymous term. It is in John Dorley's books on the days of creation. It is in John Dorley's books on God and science. It is in the study aid. It is well expounded in the syllabus course that we have in the summer school. All that is ready, that is at hand. I don't want to repeat it. I just want to pinpoint the essential points so that we can understand the Gospel of John. What is the difference between a consciousness that is engaged with thinking along the 7 days of creation and the consciousness that is thinking in the line of the numerals of infinity? These are two very different forms of consciousness. And because they are two different forms of consciousness, one has to see the difference very clearly, because we have to ask ourselves constantly, is our mentality living and working and thinking in the category of the 7 days, or is our mentality thinking and working in the category of the numerals of infinity? We have to know that, because the one is lower than the other. The days of creation are the consciousness of the beginners. The numerals of infinity is at the point where we become scientists, where we calculate with very definite, eternal, infinite ideas, the ideas, the numerals of infinity. So because of this, it is necessary to see the difference. It is not a question that is academic. It's not a question that is intellectual. It's not something like that. It's a question of life and death. Because if we stay eternally in the days of creation, we will never get anywhere. We will never get anywhere. We will always be somehow like a worm trying to get around on the earth and winding around, but never really knowing where it's going and what to attain. Whereas the numerals of infinity are ideas of the seven synonymous term. They are infinite. Every idea is limitless, is infinite. And therefore, we calculate with infinite values and not with values that are of the nature of the days of creation. When I say that, what is the difference? I just quickly try to compare really the consciousness of the days of creation with the consciousness of the numerals of infinity. These are two different stages. And they are those two different stages which we will know then in the Bible. The days of creation is the consciousness that John the Baptist had, whereas Jesus came along and he had a consciousness of the numerals of infinity. Now, you can choose between them. I can choose between them. If I stay eternally with the days of creation, I'm John the Baptist and my head will be chopped off. That's as actually as that. If I stay with the numerals of infinity, they are infinite, they are eternal, and therefore I stay with Jesus, and there is resurrection, there is life eternal, and my head will not be chopped off. Can you see that these are questions that are not academic? They touch our very life. And the trouble is that we like to stay with the days of creation, and are not the courage, really, and it is courage, a spiritual courage, a courage of attitude, to work with the numerals of infinity. All right, let's compare a few points. The days of creation is always, so to say, a way to get somewhere. You never get there. It's always a consciousness that we have to get somewhere, that we have to get to God, to the harmony of principle, to get to somewhere, to harmony, to health, and I don't know what. It's getting there. Whereas the numerals of infinity is to be there, to be at the point of beingness. We are there. So the days of creation, you can very easily see, have a beginning and an end. Now, whatever has a beginning and an end cannot be infinite. You begin with the first day, you end with the seventh day, it's a beginning and an end. Whereas the numerals of infinity have eternal values. They are eternal. They are values that have not a beginning, not an end. So the days of creation give us a sense of time, that we need time. There are 4 months until you get the harvest. Huh? It needs time. Jesus said, no, it does not need time. It's here and now, and it's eternal. Look up, and the harvest is ready to be taken into the barn. If we have the days of creation, we have a linear way of thinking. We are thinking from the 1 to the 2 to the 3 to the 4 to the 5 to the 6 to the 7. It's a linear way of thinking. And most of us are thinking in a linear way. We are always trapped into thinking in a linear way. How to get somewhere. How to take the step by step by step by step by step to get there. That is a linear concept. It will be quite different with the numerals of infinity. They accept the divine infinite calculus. It's no more a linear way. It's a way of thinking in a calculus. It's thinking in terms of a structure, in terms of a system. And the system has no beginning, has no end. It is just there. The days of creation, as I said, it's a way of development. It's a way of becoming. Can I make myself understood if I say it's a way of becoming? It's a becoming process. Whereas the numerals of infinity, it's not becoming, it's being. Again, it's isness. You don't have a way to get there. You are there. You are at the point of the I am-ness. Therefore, John's Gospel is full of I am, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Can you see? That's a great difference. So we are weighing, so to say, the quality of our consciousness, because we can always ask ourselves, in which category am I thinking? Am I thinking in the days of creation, or am I thinking in the category of the numerals of infinity? The days of creation are creative. It's a creative order, I would say. See? And we think, that's wonderful, a creative order. Everybody likes to be creative. Yes, it is wonderful to be creative and to know the order of creativity. So the days of creation give us the law of creativity. But being does not create. Being is. So the numerals of infinity don't show us a creative order. Being is quite different. It is always at the point of beingness, of isness, not of creativeness, not to create something, to be something. Or if we go to the days of creation, we can see that the days of creation show a wonderful ascending order. Right from the first little light, let there be light. And there is just a little light. And that light, as we have seen through the 7 days of creation, can unfold and fold, become definite, and is seen to operate in a system that exalts us above the earth to the 6th day where we find ourselves as being conscious. It's a wonderful ascending order. But are we always going to ascend and ascend and ascend and ascend and ascend and ascend and constantly ascend and constantly ascend? It's tiring. It's boring after a while. Huh? Whereas John will show us that we descend, that we have that sense that we come from the Father and descend from the Father. It's a descending way. So the ascending order is a wonderful order for the beginner. Don't lose them, but see that they are the beginning and not the end. That's not the end of all. So instead of having that ascending order, it's always the state of completion, of having arrived there, of being there. We have a sense in the days of creation of a constant perfectibility, that with every day something is more perfect, more complete. It's perfectibility. Yes, we like that. We need that in daily life, that we get out of imperfection, that there is a way out of it, a creative way out of it, a line out of it. It's a line of perfectibility. But that's not beingness. Being has no perfectibility. Being is perfect. It needs no perfectibility. So the numerals of infinity always show us the state of perfection. Another point is very interesting, which we see. You see, if we have the days of creation, we have an ordered development there, very ordered, but only one order. It's the order of development, whereas being has infinite order. So with the numerals of infinity, we can have infinite order, infinitely individualized orders. Yes, that's a great thing. So that we get out of the ruts of constantly just thinking in the terms of the 7 days of creation and 7 days of creation. Well, I say that because, happily enough, I have been born into an age where I could witness, so to say, the birth of all these things, the birth of the insight into the science of Christian Science. And when John Dolly began to see the very first thing about the scientific nature of Christian Science, he began to see the 7 days of creation. And he was pondering those 7 days of creation, not only a day or not only a year, not only a decade, but decades. 40 years he was constantly thinking about the 7 days of creation, so that they would have the seed within itself and would therefore evolve and evolve until he began to see the whole science of it, the numerals of infinity, which would open up infinite order. Instead of thinking in the line of one order alone, if we reached the numerals of infinity, we suddenly find that we can calculate infinitely. The thought accepts the divine infinite calculus, and infinite means infinite order, means infinite reflection of orders, and so the whole field of the science, of Christian Science, just opens up at that very point. And this is the crucial point, and we will see in the Gospel of John that this is the crucial point where Jesus was making a break with John the Baptist. Though he valued John the Baptist very much, he broke away from that point. He broke away from the days of creation and said, no, I'm going on to the numerals of infinity. There is the infinitude, the limitless realm of ideas. The days of creation are, so to say, showing us the qualities of thought, divine qualities of thought. They are not human qualities of thought. They are divine quality of thought. Let there be light, let there be enlightenment, and so on. They are divine qualities of thought. But they are thoughts. They are not ideas. The numerals of infinity only calculate with ideas, with divine ideas, with the ideas of the 7 synonymous terms. Have I pinpointed rightly what this implies? Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can't say no because... yeah. I go on. Now, what happened in our development? John Dolly first saw the days of creation. Then he began to see that they are really ideas, numerals of infinity. Then he began to see a further step, namely that these ideas are always ideas of the seven synonymous terms. So that the seven synonymous terms, and just make a mental note for the text of St. John, that these seven synonymous terms include, naturally, the 7 days of creation and the numerals of infinity. So that the 7 days of creation are only a translated form of the seven synonymous term translated to the human consciousness. That the ideas, the numerals of infinity, are the infinite ideas of the seven synonymous terms. That ideas are always, and that's the point, always ideas of God, of the seven synonymous terms. You may not right know what I mean by it, because if we don't see, this is one big point, if we don't see that ideas are always ideas of God, ideas of the seven synonymous term, ideas have an isolated value. I must correct it and say, we give to these ideas always only an isolated value and say, man is idea. If we leave it at that, we say something that is true and which is not a scientific truth. You must make the difference between a truth and a scientific truth. Not every truth is a scientific truth. When the parrot says 2 and 2 is 4, it is a truth, but it is not a scientific truth. What's the difference? The difference is that the parrot does not know the system, does not know the signs of arithmetic. Whereas if we say 2 and 2 is 4, we say it, I hope at least we say it, because we have learned the whole system of arithmetic. So that behind a truth must stand the whole system, must stand the whole science. It must have the authority of its origin. So 2 and 2, 4 comes from the origin, from the authority of the whole system of arithmetic. Can you see that? That's why we so often say, well, man is idea, or this is an idea, what is the idea behind the table, or behind the liver, or behind the heart? This is all nonsense, you see. Because we must see that idea is always an idea of the capitalized terms. Let's put it that way. Because when we see that, then we give to that idea the whole authority of God. So that if we say, well, intelligence is an idea, intelligence is an idea, we say very little. We say very little. We say, oh, it's an idea, it's not the brainwave. That's all what we say. But if we say it's an idea of God, we know that that intelligence has behind itself the infinite one. We know that that intelligence is an idea of the divine mind, therefore brought forth by the divine mind, not brought forth by the brain. We know then that idea intelligence is spiritual because it reflects God as spirit. We know that that intelligence is unchangeable because it's an idea of soul. We know that that intelligence has governing power, a spiritual power, because it's an idea of principle. We know that that intelligence is eternal, it doesn't fade away, because it's an idea of life, it has behind it the eternality of life. We know that that idea, that intelligence, is conscious of itself, it knows itself, because it's an idea of truth. And so we go on and say, yes, that intelligence is not just intelligence, it's an intelligence that knows exactly the plan in which it works and the aim it wants to achieve, because it's an idea of love, which is a plan. Do you see the difference between a fact and a scientific fact, between a truth and a scientific truth? And unless we put every idea not back into its principle, it has no power. Only, therefore, then, when an idea is seen as an idea of God, it is actually omnipotent. Then it, that That idea is omniscient. It knows what it wants to achieve. That idea is omnipresent. It's always, every place, ever present. It's omni-action. It's omni-active. It acts and acts and acts and acts without that we think of it. It has its authority really in science, and science works by itself. Yeah. So you can see that the time was come where we can see that these numerals of infinity must be further brought back to the seven synonymous terms. They are the authority. They are being. Capital B. Huh? They are that which we called up to now God. They are being and come from that one being. Yes. So we have all these infinite ideas, the numerals of infinity. But we have seen infinity is too big to understand. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy found, or she didn't find it, it was given to her from on high, huh? That she could present the infinite ideas reduced to seven capitalized terms, to seven synonymous terms. Think of it again. Huh? The infinitude reduced just to seven categories of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So that if we understand the seven synonymous term, we really understand the nature of God. So, because it is simple, it's possible for us to get hold of it, and therefore get the language of spirit, as I have said before. Now, another point that we have to see, and we talked about for over and over, but I repeat it, the wonder of wonder happened with Mrs. Eddy's discovery that she defined God not only in seven terms, but in seven synonymous terms. She discovered, if I can say so, she called herself the discovery of Christian Science. On the other side, she always said that she hasn't written it, that it was a revelation. It was revealed to her from God on high, really, that there is a possibility of defining the infinite through seven, but in order that the seven are not limited, they are seven synonymous terms for the infinite. Synonymous means that they agree that they are one with God, though they express that one God in different ways. So through the language of synonymy, so that every synonym blends with every other synonym, we reach the field of infinitude, of infinity. This has not been found in literature up to now. This is absolutely a new revelation to speak a language that uses the principle of synonymy. Synonymy, therefore, helps us not to limit our definition of God, so we have a limited terminology. We have only seven capitalized terms. And yet, because they blend into each other and refer to the one and the same infinite, they are so flexible that they always refer to the infinite one. So we never lose the infinite one out of our consciousness. Is that interesting? Is that a help? Think of it. If John Dolly wouldn't have found that, he could not have opened up the Bible as he did. Because he opened up the Bible, you know, he has about 13 volumes on the Bible written, that show that each book of the Bible has a structure. A structure of what? A structure of the capitalized terms. That a book like Samuel would show us the seven by seven. Each synonymous term reflecting each other synonymous term. So that you have a seven by seven matrix that gives us the whole story of Samuel and with every other book in the Bible. And you know that afterwards we have done the same thing with the textbook and have seen the textbook is one structure that is so dainty, so goes so into details. Everything is structure within structure within structure. That there is a first chapter on the textbook prayer is laid out in the sevenfold prayer. Each one of the seven is laid out again through the seven. So we have a seven by seven structure of the chapter on prayer, so that we can define prayer very clearly through seven by seven, therefore in 49 different aspects. That's much more than just saying that prayer is praying to God, or that is adoring God or worshiping God. So one can see that one through the reflection of the seven synonymous term by seven, we can find a much clearer, much more definite, much more crystallized answer to every question that we have about reality. Yes, that's why it is necessary to get the tonality of the seven synonymous term, the tonality in a whole of all the capitalized terms. If we have that tonality, we begin to read the Bible and the textbook no more as a text, but as a structure. We say we don't read it anymore the individual words, the individual sentences. We read them, but behind that we always listen to the structure. We listen to the categories. And that's the point which we should attain. And we will see this week more about it. And perhaps it's necessary for another summer school next year to elaborate on this, so that we step by step are, so to say, blending our consciousness, which has been trained over thousands and thousands of years in thinking in words, in isolated words, in isolated sentences, to begin to have a structured consciousness, structured according to the categories of being, and not to be structured according to terms that we read and that we have learned in school and that we can look up in a dictionary. Yes, okay, we make a break here.